This is Doug Miller. The church, the kingdom of God, are those the same things? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand to tell the truth as the Bible states the truth in clear, simple terms, as clearly as we can, knowing very well that we will give an account for everything that we said and every word that we spoke in that great coming day when we stand at the bema of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we are back. We are in the book of Acts. We began this last week, and we will continue today, and we're in chapter 1. And for those of you who have been listening to Dialogue any time at all, you know that we're never in a hurry to get through these books. We take it chapter at a time, a verse at a time, a line at a time, and we give it whatever time we need to do a thorough job of exegeting this scripture. And so who knows, we've got 28 chapters of Acts. I don't know. It took us several months to get through Hebrews with only 13 chapters, so this may take us a whole year. Doesn't matter. Bring your Bibles along, open up to Acts 1, and we will begin at verse 3. In fact, we ended with verse 3 last time, but this is important enough that I wanted to come back and touch on it again. And call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists only for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And as with any faith ministry, we are absolutely and utterly dependent on our listeners for support. We pray that you will write us down on your prayer list. Pray for Dialogue. Tell people about us. We have no advertising budget, and we're not going to have one. We are strictly a word-of-mouth operation and as low-budgeted as we can make it because we wish to spend every dime that we can get seeing this word go out. We would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Also, our webpage, you might want to go on the web and listen to our recordings on that. We've got the book of Hebrews up there pretty much in total, and we will be getting some more recordings up as we go along. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org, and that will get you into our webpage. Okay, let's get into it now. I asked the question at the end of this at the beginning of the broadcast, and really kind of at the end of our last broadcast, I got into this. And the question is simply this. We have this statement in the verse 3, and let's just read it. To whom also he, that is Jesus Christ, showed himself alive after his passion or after his suffering. He showed himself alive many days, or by many infallible proofs. I'm sorry about that. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I want to ask a question here, and it is a very important question, and one that you need to understand if you don't understand it, because if you don't understand it, you will get nothing but confusion out of this book of Acts. Acts is a book, it's a transitional book, as it were. We are moving out of one dispensation into another, and the people coming out of the one dispensation certainly weren't aware that, you know, there was no sign up on the road that says, attention, you're now moving out of the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace. There was nothing like that for them. And these individuals, up until the 10th chapter of Acts, and more importantly, until about the 12th or 13th chapter, we are dealing strictly with Jews. Jews who did not by any means understand this new dispensation they were moving into. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and they believed that he was going to bring the kingdom on earth. They knew nothing about the church. Now, some of you are, I'm sure, very distressed and disturbed to hear me say something like that, because many of you out there have been taught all of your lives that the church is the kingdom of God. I know as a young man, that's what I was taught. That's what we believed to the extent that we believed anything in the church that I went to. I was never really quite clear what we believed. And when I look back at that particular church, I am doubly not sure what they believe today, because they have gotten farther and farther from the truth as it is expressed in this Bible, which they long ago ceased to believe in much anyway. Now, there's no point in your asking me what was the church. I'm not going to tell you. That's for me to know. But look at this in this book of Acts. These individuals were all Jews. They were all Jews. And that is, they had been raised under the law. They believed in the law. They believed in keeping the law. They believed that righteousness was by the law. The first four books of the New Testament, so-called, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are all Old Testamental, very much. Very much. Now you say, well, they're in the New Testament. Yes. Well, they were written by Christians. Yes. But they were written by Christians during the period, or concerning the period of time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was physically on this earth, walking the earth. And when he came and presented himself to Israel after the baptism of John, his message was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was the message of John the Baptist. Now, what do we understand by this term, the kingdom of God? If you say, well, that's the church. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Let me prove that to you right now that that's not the case. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ, after Peter's confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, says very clearly, upon this rock I will build my church. That is future, which indicates to any person who is thinking at all, and if, once again, as I've said before, if grammar and syntax have any meaning at all, that means that the church was not built yet. He hadn't built it yet, because he said, I will build it. Therefore, there was no church. Now, for all of you replacement theologians out there and all of you covenant theologians, you're not going to like what I'm saying very well, because you believe, falsely I might add, that the church has co-opted all the promises given to Israel, and that now when we read the words church, we can just, Israel or whatever back in the Old Testament, we can just put church in there, and we are the new Israel and all of this. Well, the guy talking to you over the microphone believes nothing of the sort. Israel is Israel, and the church is the church, and the proof that the church wasn't around prior to the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, once again, the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I will build my church. When will he build it? Well, he will build his church, and we will see that the beginning of that building here in the book of Acts. But now let's go back and just talk about Matthew for a minute. Much earlier, by the third chapter of Matthew, and into the fourth chapter, we begin to see a message being proclaimed by John the Baptist and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. Now, incidentally, I personally don't believe that those two are synonyms either, but I am not going to go into that right now. Don't worry about it. If you want to know the difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, well, you can write me and ask me, and I'll communicate with you. But right for our purposes right now, it's good enough to just treat them as if they were the same thing. The message that is being proclaimed is, repent, the kingdom is at hand. Now, what did the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist mean by this? It is very simple. The king has come. He is here standing on this earth. Messiah, the Messiah of God, is here proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom. Now, what did any good Bible-believing Orthodox Jew understand that to be? And let me say this about that. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not go out of his way to confuse people. He gave a clear, certain, steady, uncompromising message that anyone who was familiar with Scripture and of average and normal intelligence could understand. He was not, hiding things under a rock or under a basket and saying, ha ha, see if you can find them. What did any normal Jew at this time understand this to mean? Well, if they had the Old Testament, and they did have the completed Old Testament, they had not only the completed Old Testament in Hebrew, they had the Septuagint, the completed Old Testament written in Greek, the lingua franca of the whole Eastern Mediterranean and the whole civilized world at that time. It had been translated into Greek by 70 Hebrew scholars in Alexandria about 200 years before. So they had this. They didn't have the New Testament yet, but they certainly had the Old Testament. And when they heard this message, what could they possibly understand? The kingdom, as they understood it, was the Messianic kingdom. And the Messianic kingdom was to be reigned over and ruled over by Messiah, the son of David, who would sit on the throne of David, his father, in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion, ruling over a literal kingdom. The golden age was coming in. The age promised by the prophets. We now know it because we have the completed New Testament as the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Now, for those of you who, thinking in terms of something off way up in the heavens and so on and so forth, you probably will disagree with me, but I am telling you that the millennial kingdom is an earthly kingdom. And these Jews, when they heard the Lord Jesus proclaiming this, if they understood what he was proclaiming at all and saw him and heard what John the Baptist said about him, understood that he was Messiah here, ready to take up his rule and his throne and reign. All right. Now, if they didn't believe that, and many of them didn't, most of them, as it turned out, didn't, then they would reject his claim, and that's exactly what they did. But the claim has not gone away. What they didn't, these Jews, any of them, understood, and this, what they didn't understand, rather, what they didn't understood, mercy sakes, what they didn't understand was the suffering of Messiah, that he had to be rejected, that he was going to be crucified, that after his crucifixion he would be raised up from the dead and ascend back into heaven and send forth the Holy Spirit, and we would get a new thing going on, the church age, the age of grace, and that this gospel would go out to the Gentiles. They didn't understand any of that. And they weren't thinking in these terms at all. Now, let's look at Acts 1:3 again. The Lord Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we see he showed himself alive after his suffering, passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right. He was with them for 40 days on earth. The fact that he was alive, very much alive, very physically present with them, there is no question about it. Luke tells us here that the proofs were infallible. Now, if you are one of, or if you're one of these, you know, skeptics out there, and you want to wander through the earth, you know, in your own conceits and vanity, saying, "Well, all of these people were either lying or they were deranged." Well, fine, have at it, and we'll see you at the great white throne of Christ Jesus, and you'll get a chance to tell him. But I hope you won't do that. You don't want to be in that situation. You're talking about eternal damnation. You'd better look at the Word of God. The proofs were infallible, and there were many of them. And for 40 days, he taught them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, not to the church. Not one of these men at this point understood anything about the church. And we are going to see that time and time again as we get into this book of Acts. What God was going to do, that he was going to go out to the Gentiles, that he was going to send this gospel out further and further. These guys had no idea that he was going to do anything like that. This was utterly beyond them. In fact, it would take a guy named Paul who would come along to do that. And incidentally, just a little sidetrack here, the church is Paul's doctrine. The church is Paul's teaching. Paul makes this very clear over and over again. These are things that God and the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Paul to teach. And Peter, James, John, these apostles in Jerusalem, it was a long, long time before they picked up on any of this. And that is why you can read the writings of James, John, Peter, and not specifically read about the church. But you can't read Paul's writings without reading about the church. And Luke, incidentally, Dr. Luke, was a very close companion of Paul in his missionary journeys and travelings, and therefore you're going to read a lot about the church in here. But what the Lord was speaking to these men about at this particular time was not the church, but the kingdom of God. And look at verse 4 now. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." All right. Wait in Jerusalem for an event that's going to take place. Now, I want you all to notice this, and I want you to look at this, and it is very important as you study the Bible on your own that you let the Bible say what it says and don't read into it things that it doesn't say. John the Baptist, in his prophecy that he gave, and we can read of this in the early parts of Matthew and in the early parts of Luke and Mark, John the Baptist's testimony. He said, "There is one coming after me. I am not worthy to loose the shoes off his feet." The one coming after him, of course, the one that he had come to announce, was Messiah. And it says, I am baptizing you unto water, unto repentance. But he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, I want you to notice what Jesus says in this fifth verse of the first chapter of Acts. Does he say anything about fire? He doesn't mention it, does he? And yet John the Baptist said that's what he will do. Now, he will baptize with fire, but that baptism with fire has not yet come. Fire is a clear symbol throughout Scripture, Old and New Testaments, of judgment. And judgment is coming in, and the Lord Jesus Christ will baptize with fire, but not yet. And that's why he doesn't mention fire in this one. He says you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and literally in the Holy Ghost is the Greek here, in the medium of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is much confusion about this baptism in the Holy Ghost. John baptized in water. What did he do? He took them, he put them down under the waters, and he raised them up again out of the waters, and they were baptized in water. And that baptism was an immersion. You've heard me say that before. Some of you may not like that. Sorry about that. Now we've got another medium here, the Holy Ghost. And just as they were plunged into the waters of baptism, they're going to be plunged into the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he says not many days hence, something is going to happen. Now, very important that you get this. The baptism of fire, not yet. It's coming, but not yet. Now, many of you dear saints out there, and I love you dearly, and I don't mean to insult you or offend you in any way. You're my brothers, you're my sisters, and you know very well how I feel about other brothers and sisters in Christ and how I feel about denominating and all of that. I am not here in any way to belittle or to offend you who believe that somehow the baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's all the same things, and that the tongues of fire mentioned in the second chapter of Acts are a part of this baptism of fire. That is simply not the case. That is not the case. And we are not going to have time to get much farther into this today, but I just want you to understand what we've got going on. The Lord Jesus tells them, they've been told, one of the last things he told them was go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. But that will come later. He hasn't told them that yet. Something else has to happen before they can go out. He says, you go and you wait in Jerusalem. And as you wait, the Father's promise is going to be fulfilled toward you. God the Father has made a promise. You heard it from me. You go back and you wait in Jerusalem until the promise is fulfilled. And the promise that's going to be fulfilled is the promise of the baptism in or with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit baptism. We will have to take this up the next time. It hadn't happened yet by the when the Lord Jesus said this, and there is much confusion and disagreement about what this means. So the next time, I hope I'll be able to clear it up so that any of you listening will never have a problem with it again, because there's no reason to have a problem. The Bible's very clear on this one. All right, we're coming down to the end of the broadcast. So we'll have to stop it there. I will see you next time, Lord willing. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.